is that we continually have to teach these lessons. We have to teach about our authority. We have to teach about the things of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and what he does, how he operates. We have to teach about faith. We have to teach about the love of God. We have to teach about prayer. We have to teach about spiritual development, how to be led by the Spirit. So there are certain ingredients that you need in your spirit to keep you strong and whole as a Christian. And so even in the natural, you need certain ingredients for your body to function healthily, in a healthy way. And so we need a balance. So that's what we try to do, is keep a balance. So let us pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you for this time we have here. It's 7:35 in the evening. And we pray we can get all what you want to say in this time. We thank you for every heart is a listening heart. I pray that everyone is obedient to put aside their own thoughts and begin to grab a hold of their minds and their emotions and focus on the Word of God and put aside every activity and listen to your Word tonight. And I pray that our minds will be renewed and strengthened, and our hearts will be strong, and our hearts will be kept in the things of God. I pray that our spirits will get stronger in faith, and so that we can conquer the flesh, which is our enemy. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's go to our scripture. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. I believe we have that here somewhere, or I didn't have that here somewhere. So we try to get these scriptures. I don't know if I gave you these guys, these scriptures. Let's go ahead and put that on the screen, Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 14. And right after that, we go to verse 16. Let's go. We might even read 15, just give people extra. We won't charge for that one. And we'll just throw that in for good measure. Let's go ahead and if you don't have the King James, or this is the New Living, let's go to the King James Version. I like it in the King James Version, and because there's not enough English people here tonight. Okay, so for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can say it this way. They are, the sons of God are led by the Spirit. You wouldn't do injustice, because that's what it's saying. It's saying here that the Holy Spirit will lead every one of us. That those people who are called sons of God can be led by God's Spirit. So that's the scripture is telling us. Paul is writing a letter to the Roman Christians, and he said that the sons of God, those ones who are declared righteous, they're the ones that God will lead by his Holy Spirit. Let's go read the next verse, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. In other words, we don't have that bondage. You know, fear shouldn't keep us from walking with God and following God. We don't have fear to intimidate us, and we don't have that spirit. We don't pay attention to that. We come against that, but we have a spirit of adoption, which means that we've been adopted by God. Every one of us here been adopted. The scriptures tell us that, and you know, God's our Father. God is our Father. How many people, you want your child, your children to be led in the proper way? You want them to do the best. You want them to have good grades. You want them to be successful, finish their school, have good jobs. You don't want them to be murdered and get sick. You want your children to be A-okay. And God wants that for us. We cry, Abba Father. Verse 16 tells us how God leads us. This is how God leads us. The Spirit itself, himself, the appropriate word for that is the Spirit itself, or the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit himself. What does he do? He bears witness with our spirit, our inward man, our spirit, that we are the children of God. So the first thing that scripture reminds us of and tells us, that when we got saved, God told us that you belong to him. Immediately, anyone here can relate to this. If you're a child of God, you just knew that you knew that you were born again, that you're his child. And if you don't know that tonight, you need to make sure tonight. There's some people, they have a hard time sometimes. For some reason, they just don't know that they're saved. If you said, you know, if you die tonight, do you know you make heaven? And they say, well, I don't know. And they've been around this church for some time, and I've even seen them go up to the front, question their salvation. And Mark Davey will tell them, listen, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. If you've done that, you do it one time. And if you've been living in sin, confess it. You don't have to wait for church or wait for an evangelist. Say, Lord, thank you. You said I'm your child. You erased my sins and forgive me. Wash me with your blood if I repent right now. And immediately he cleanses you. Yeah. So he will teach you. He will tell you first. The first thing he'll do is tell you you're a child of God. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. The first thing. The first thing in life, he'll tell you when you're saved that you are his child. From that time on, when you make decisions in life, it's the same way. He'll bear witness about buying the car, marrying the man, marrying the woman, moving to another town. He'll bear witness for every other thing that you have to do. And if you make a mistake, he's merciful. He's merciful. And he'll keep you strong. I thank God for his goodness, and his mercy endures forever. Okay, let's go to Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What does candles do? And, you know, they had to relate to using candle as giving light in that day. The spirit of man, in other words, the way God will enlighten you and lead you is through your spirit. The spirit of man is a candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So we see that your spirit is how God is going to lead you. God will lead all of us by our spirit, by the Holy Spirit. I want you to write these things down, and we'll talk about some things extra. First of all, know these things. If you want to be led by the Spirit of God in your life, if you want God wants to lead you, let me give you six things to start with. First of all, God wants to lead all of his children. He just finished saying Romans 8:16 that were and 16 that were children of God. He bears witness with your inward man, your spirit. Proverbs 20:27 says he will light your candle. He will enlighten you. He'll use your spirit as a candle to walk in the dark, this dark world. So many things will encumber our lives. And so, first of all, God wants to lead you spiritually. God wants to lead you spiritually. And so, having said that, we have to say that, you have to use your mind. God gives you a good brain. You have to figure things out. But when it comes to different areas after that, and you don't know, there's so many good answers, and maybe some answers that, you want to go to, but it looks dangerous, or it doesn't look productive, or it doesn't seem right. But on the inside, the Spirit of God is going to lead you sometimes, even in the area where you think you're not supposed to be going. Because he doesn't always lead you, the easy way out. He doesn't always lead you in a path that you might think is the best way, to avoid certain things. So God wants to lead you spiritually. That means he doesn't want to lead you by natural circumstances or natural ways. He doesn't lead you by your feelings. Some people say, well, I feel this way. I feel good about this. Well, you can't trust your feelings, because you could deceive yourself by your own feelings. So, number two, God will lead you more on the inward side, on your inward man, rather than the outside of your physical man. We're saying that, but we make this a point that he'll give you that inward witness. He'll always give you that witness. Even when things look so nice that you think, you know, I should go this way. But on the inside, there's something uncomfortable there that's telling you, hey, that's not the way to go. Everything looks good. But then on the inside, something uncomfortable tells you that's not the way to go. And then you look at the scripture, if you put up Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Because sometimes there's a clash between your soul and your body. And so we said, and in the Bible school, we said this, you know, if you understand the makeup of man, if we understand that we're a trinity ourselves, first of all, we're a spirit being. And we possess a soul and live in a physical body, natural body. If you understand your makeup like that, then you understand when you get messages or you're being led, you're going to understand how to decipher that. How am I being led? Like, you can't look at natural things and say, oh, that looks good, the sun's shining, then I'm going to go this way, or, you know, I got enough money, I should go this way. That might not always be the indication. Might not be the right thing. Let's look at the scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Head. No, not your head. Not your feelings. It's not your body. You know? And so I feel good, you know. I just feel good, you know. So because you feel good doesn't mean God's in that. It could be you leading yourself or your body leading you. Because you know that the flesh has something to do with enjoyment over there, whatever that is. Your appetites are going to be fulfilled. So it's not always the case. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Your heart is something on the inside of you, both physically and spiritually. You don't have your heart on your shoulder. It's not on your foot. It's on the inside of you. And so your spirit man is on the inside of you. Your spirit man is the core of your being. So he says, trust the Lord with your heart. So you're going to trust God with your heart. That means when he says that, trust the Lord with your heart. Remember Romans chapter 8? Or is it Romans chapter 9, verses 9 or chapter 10, verses 9 and 10? If thou shalt, you know, was that the, if thou shalt, how does it go? If thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And what, believe? In your heart. So it says, believe with your heart. So here's the term, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's saying the same thing as that. Trust means to rely on, to depend on, to trust in, to have confidence in. So faith has to do with confidence. When someone says they trust the Lord, it means that they're trusting in what the Word says. You know, we look at last night, the scripture we're teaching faith, Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 1, it says, you know, Hebrews 11, 1? Can somebody help me? Now faith is the substance. So we look at that word substance. Now faith is the substance. That word substance, you look on your, if you got a good King James, it gives you an interpretation. Has an aspect, it goes right down to the other page. It says faith is the substance. The substance is the word grounds. Grounds. In other words, you know, we always tell people, if you're believing God for something, what ground are you standing on? What's your foundation for trusting or believing something? The grounds. So you have to have, you know, it's the ground I'm trusting on. If, you know, faith is something that you can tell, you know, the word faith is also can be termed as the Word of God. Yes. Faith and the Word of God are the same thing. Yes. So faith or the Word of God is the grounds of the things I'm hoping for. Yes. Yeah, you get that? Hebrews 11, that's how it goes, how it actually is translated. So in that verse of scripture up here, it says in there, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You can only trust God with your heart. You can't trust God with anything else. In other words, you're going to trust on the inside. When he says trust in the Lord with all your heart, it means you're going to trust God from the inside out, independent of sense knowledge. So trusting with your heart means trusting independently of sense knowledge. You're going to trust God. So if you trust in what everybody says and what you feel, you're going to eventually some part there you're going to fail, because sometimes you only have the word, nothing else. Every other evidence says you're going to die. You're not going to make it. And we were talking to a doctor. We were talking to a doctor last year, and they told us about something about, you know, there's only 3% of these cases that your child has. There's only 3% of these people will ever live. And most of the time, people in the condition that your daughter is in, she'll never make it. Well, that's not a good thing to tell someone. If that's the indication, I got 97% against me. But thank God all things are possible. I didn't have to wait for a miracle. And so I said, okay, don't try to believe anything. I told my wife that, told my dad, don't try to believe anything. I'll get this for you. Because I'm the dad. I'm responsible. I'm going to believe this. I trust in this. You know, there's sometimes my wife was trying to hang on. I mean, we all get emotional. I was. There's lots of times I wake up. Sometimes I wake up crying even today. And it's grieving. So some of you are believing God for things, and you can't depend on what society tells you, or what numbers tell you, or what statistics tell you, or what some, I thank God for doctors. Thank God for that. And they tell us the truth about the different things. But, you know, truth and fact, you know, the truth is God's words never fail. Amen. And there are facts of statistics, but God can override certain things about our lives. And I will say this, you know, this might not be interesting to you, but one day it'll be interesting to you. When it really matters. Yeah. And so, you know, you have to, you know, these are things that are not popular, because you have to stand and you have to fight the good fight of faith. Yeah. No one's going to do it for you. There's a time when no one else can pray you out of certain things. It's you and God alone. I remember Brother Hagin told us in class, he said, there's going to be a day in your life when you only in the naked word are going to stand against the circumstances that is coming against you. And I found that out to be true. And he said, if everybody else on this side, there's a line right here, everybody else says it can't be true, I'm going to stick here on what God's word says. I'm going to say, it is possible for me. Amen? So trust in the Lord with all your heart. When you say, whenever you say, I'm trusting God, you're telling me that you're trusting the word. Because it's synonymous. It means the same thing. You can't trust the Lord any other way. When you say you trust someone, you understand their ways, and you also understand what they say about what they're going to do. You trust what they say. So when we trust God, we're trusting what He says in His Word. So if we're going to be led by God, we're going to have to trust His Word. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah says, whose report will you believe? Remember, we used to sing that song. Remember, Mark used to sing that, we shall believe the report of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? We shall believe. I was singing that song when I was in my hard times. Mark came up to me and sang that in my spirit, in my mind. And I bet you, you know, there's kids in here that's having a hard time. Lisa's singing a song in their spirit. And it comes out of them, because it's in there. And so trust in the Lord with all your heart. Notice this, what it tells you. Lean not into your own understanding. It means because we're limited to what we know. Because we don't know. We're finite. We can't see everything. But God's word gives us light. And we can see further with God's word, where God is, than we can in ourselves. Because we're looking through filters of our culture, filters of what our profession tells us. You know, we had a pastor, a friend of ours, who was, she worked in the hospital all her life. So sometimes it's hard for me to trust and believe because, you know, I know certain things. I work in a medical field all my life. But she saw miracles. Amen. Things happen. People told, you know, I remember Keith used to tell us, Keith Moore tells us, you know, there's people just giving up to die. Come to school, Rhema, the Bible school, healing school. I see them come out of it. They're told they're going to die next week. Die in 2 weeks. But they had to, if you could just confess this word. Say this. Even if you don't believe it, say it. Because God's word is medicine. When you're reading the word at night, it doesn't have to be on healing. If you're reading the word at night, it's medicine. It'll heal you. It'll keep you strong. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. What is your understanding? Your understanding is your own mind, your own soul. Because your soul, you have to do something with your soul. You have to renew your soul because your soul is not saved. According to James chapter 1, verse 23, I believe it is. Let's go to James chapter 1, 23. That seems that came up out of my spirit. Let's see what it says. We might come back to this verse. Let's go, is that 23? If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, this man is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. Or is that, am I in the right, let me just find that in the scripture myself. Maybe somebody else already has it. James chapter 1. I like that it tells us, well, too far. James chapter 1. I believe it's verse 23, I did say, right? Let's go ahead and, verse 21. I like this word here. This is the King James. Watch this. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. I like that verse. Oh, I'm going to lay my superfluity tonight. Especially the naughtiness. Do you ever tell somebody that? Honey, you're too superfluity. You know, some people argue that King James, you know, it's the only thing in the whole world, you know. But anyway, so we don't understand that as much if you read it in another version. And receive with meekness, notice as the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. The word save is the same word, the Greek word you find in the word renew your mind in Romans 12:2. Because when we're born again, your soul is not saved. If you don't take care of your soul, you'll still make the same decisions like you did before you were saved. That's why Christians can appear like they're not even saved. They're doing things that are not right. They're saying they're being led by God, and God never led them to do certain things. Can you see Scripture? Scripture tells you that that's not right. Certain areas of our own lives. I can say my own self, there's things, you know, I had to correct myself. I said, okay, I got to make a decision here to change my mind because in my own mind, it seemed to be okay. Able to save your soul. So your soul is not your spirit or your heart. Remember we said we're spirit, soul, and body. So we're going to be led by the Spirit. We can't listen to what we think about it. Examine your thinking in light of what the Word says. Is your thinking correct according to what this says? And when you're, especially when you're being led, when people say they're led by God, and you say, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. First of all, on the inside of me, something's scratching me. They're telling me this is not right. But in my mind, I'm thinking I'm doing okay. Okay, so we're going to continue here. We got only 2 minutes left. Okay. Number three, we can't be moved by sight or our emotions or circumstances or natural situations or whatever it is. When you're making decisions and being moved by God, God tells you something, we say we walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith means synonymous the word faith, because, you know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So there's only one way to get faith, is by the word. So over here it says we walk by faith. We walk by the word of God and not by sight or natural, our natural senses. We don't just make decisions purely on our emotions. Thank God when they're lined up together, it's nice. Right? But it's sometimes, most of the time, it's not. So the next one, for God will always lead us in line with his word. The Spirit, you know, the Bible tells us, the word, you know, agrees with the Spirit, and the Spirit with the word. And, you know, so when we're led in line with God's word, we know, or God, if it's opposing the word of God, then you know, hey, that's not the way God's leading me. So we have to know also, number five, God will try to, or the enemy will try to move you through your physical flesh, the appetites of your physical flesh, or things that really you like to delight in the natural. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, when the tempter came, he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we can't just let what we feel, what we want in things in life, and the scripture clearly shows. Number six, the Spirit always leads you. You can always be assured in life that the Holy Spirit will always lead you. You could never be assured that you'll have a gift of the Spirit to lead you, or a prophecy, or a word of knowledge. Those gifts are going to happen. Maybe they might never happen in your life. And you want to be led. No one, God never told us we'll be led by the gifts of the Spirit, ever. Never. You certainly should never be led by prophecy. You shouldn't be led by prophecy. Prophecy is should confirm something. If somebody came to you with where the prophecy said God wants you to do this and he wants you to do that, you say, what? You know God's not talking. God doesn't use the gifts of the Spirit to lead you. He will confirm things you already have. You say, oh yeah, I was thinking about that. Say, for instance, when I was thinking about the television thing, we'd already been talking about it as a team. We said, okay, we're going to get the television. We're gonna tape things. We're gonna go on McLean TV at the time. Remember McLean TV? You know, locally, we're gonna put that on there. And they said we could do it. Blah blah blah. We talked about it. Then I'm sitting in the service, and the man starts speaking to me about television, being on television. I never talked to him. He said, you're gonna be on television. And so that was a confirmation that we were on the right track. Not only that, but he never talked to Brother Ross. Ross calls me. He says, hey, we'd like you to take over this ministry. Well, those are three, four things that come in line. I know God's talking to him. I said, is God really talking? Well, he is talking. First of all, I already put it in my heart. And somebody come by and confirmed it. Then another guy comes and confirms it too. And God was surely talking. And so thank God for his leading, and he will confirm things and say, yeah, you're in the right place. Now God doesn't always lead us in the easy areas in life. So every one of us, the point is that every believer should learn to live the Spirit-led life, because they will avoid certain disasters or destructions to themselves or other people, because your decisions will affect other people. Because we say, you know, I can do this, I just, no, everything, your decisions affect a lot of people, particularly leaders, and it's pretty scary. So God wants all of us to be led, every believer to be led from the inside out, and not to depend on outward circumstances to direct your lives. People who insist God will lead them by fleeces or, you know, in a certain way, they say, okay, God, I'm going to make this decision. If you open that door, then I believe it's going to be you. Well, that's not how you should live your life. You're in the wrong right there. You're giving the word of God to direct your life or to govern your life in the spirit to confirm that. Hey, that word is good. Go and follow that. Let me just give you one scripture. We'll close here because we've got to cut ourselves short here. Let's go to, I love the scripture because it speaks volumes. You know, we talked about what things will you, there are things that you will suffer if you do make right decisions and follow God. There are things, if you follow God, there are things that will directly affect your life and have you some, you'll suffer some things from making the right decisions. And we talked about that in Bible school. And say, for instance, sometimes humility, you suffer humility. There's things that you have to, you have to lower yourself. Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus, over here, he says, you might have the same attitude as Christ. This is New Living. This is Philippians 2, 5 and 8. Though he was God, he did not think of himself equality with God and something to be clinged to. Instead, he gave his divine privilege and took on the humble position of a slave, was born of a human being. When he appeared in a human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God. And so sometimes we have to humble ourselves, lower ourselves in different areas. You know, sometimes we want to always be on top. Sometimes you let other people do things. Let other people lead you. Because you don't know everything. I don't know everything. A lot of times when I'm making decisions, I give those decisions up. Say, for instance, with finances. I don't make any decisions on finances in this church. I believe for them. I give my team. They make the decisions. Say, okay, what are we going to do here? So a lot of times I'll go to Jean and say, Jean, what should we do? She said, okay, you could do these things. She gives me options. Say, okay, I'll take number two, door number two. okay, you get this much money. and different things, you know. So I don't make those decisions. My job is to preach the word. And so everybody follows the same thing. So I have to humble myself and ask my wife, can I have some money? Can we take part of the money tonight that we receive, you know, from sometimes people give us a few bucks. So sometimes thank God for that. So she says, well, we'll see about that. So, but you know, you have to humble yourself with different things. You're not always going to, you know, we could continue to talk about this, but there's things you suffer. You suffer shame for following Jesus. There's so many things that could intimidate you not to follow God when you're making the right decision, when you're being led by the Spirit. Shame is one of them. The devil will try to make you ashamed. The scriptures tells us that. He'll make you ashamed when you're walking with God, following and making the right decisions. People will think about, they'll challenge your thinking. The devil makes sure somebody challenges you about making the right decision. Well, let's just close with that. I was going to go to a scripture, but we'll close with that. Father, we want to thank you. In Jesus' name, let's go ahead and stand up and thank God. Let's go ahead and thank him, but he is leading us. And right now, thank you, Lord. The Bible says, "Let's we look to God tonight." So, there's people in here right now. You're making decisions. Looks like there's no way out, but there's a way out. God always has a way out, no matter what you're facing. The answer is always yes when it comes to your health. If you want to get better, God always says yes to you. If he told the two blind people that it's okay for you to be okay, to be healed, it's okay for you to be healed. Otherwise, God's, he's a place favorites. If he told a leper, it's I will, he'll tell you I will. When he said I will to that man, he's saying I will to us because Jesus is God talking. God is talking to us through Jesus. God wants you to have success. Every one of us, every single person with a shadow of a doubt, I don't have any kind, not even a shadow, that God wants you to be thoroughly successful, whatever you do. And he promises you that that whatever you do, you will succeed. And there's someone here today that's making some decisions and you're having a hard time. God says, if you just go ahead and look to my word and look to me, I'll get you out of that situation. I watch over my word to perform and make it good. Do not be afraid. Don't look at the, just like the children of Israel, they looked at the circumstances of those snakes biting them. Don't look at those snakes. Don't look at the circumstances. The circumstances are biting, coming against you. Don't look at it. Keep looking at the cross. Keep looking at the snake on the pole. Look at Jesus. Look at his word. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the word. Trust the word. Say, I'll trust the word. Say, I'm putting my faith on the word of God. Not how I feel or what somebody else says or somebody's opinion or the popular opinion. I'm going to depend on the word of God. I believe God is leading me right now. Even when it doesn't seem like he's leading me, he is leading me now. I put my trust in him. I put my reliance on him. I'm depending on him right now. And I'm coming out of this situation. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Because God is my shield. And God is my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.